You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, to anyone who wants to listen. I'm Peter DePalma, joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are so blessed. And we're also so blessed just thinking about it. God's permissible will has allowed so many beautiful Catholic days, celebration days, to fall on the day and the time, of course, in which we broadcast. So we thank God for that, especially today on this wonderful day, the All Souls Day. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer today is going to be, it's a prayer for the souls in purgatory. And it's actually found in the Book of Heaven. It's Volume 12, March 14th, 1919. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, I immerse myself in the divine volition, and I take its power, the immensity of its love, the immense value of the pain of the Son of God, and of all the divine qualities, and I pour them upon the souls in purgatory. May these souls be immersed in a bath of the love that the divine power contains, a bath of its beauty, a bath of the blood of Jesus, and a bath of all the divine qualities. Amen. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, our broadcast falls on this beautiful day, All Souls Day. And I'm with a small army of sisters today. I've got three Italian sisters, two of which Italian is the first language, one of which English is the first language. So it's always fun. And again, the Italian sisters, ESL, forget it. Their English is better than mine. So I'd like to introduce right now, Sister Teresa.
We trust in the miracles of Jesus. day by day.
Every day we do. so nice
every,
to see
every
you,
time
sister.
I finish for Radio Maria or Marisilla, other things, I thought to myself, oh, I did this? Yes, I did. It's true.
Yeah, it's the power of recording and live. But, you know, such a great feast day today. I'd like to open up with, you know, something that, you know, God astonishes us with the Book of Heaven. In fact, we've talked about this many times. Many times when we read the passages, we stop, we say, can this be? Is this real? You know, it's so incredible. It's so beyond what we've already known. Again, it's not in contrast to, because again, the divine will, the Book of Heaven, explicates everything that's already been given. And remember, the explication is found in our catechism. It's article number 66, which states, I'll try to paraphrase it, no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, but it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given, end quote. So that's exactly what's happening. I'd like to begin with volume 5, July 3rd. I hope no one else is going to share this, but even if you were, your viewpoint will be, I'm sure, much more stellar than mine. But it's volume 5, July 3rd, 1903. And the title of it is, If the Soul Gives Herself Completely to Jesus in life, Jesus gives himself to her at her death and exempts her from purgatory. That's the title. Now, again, this is probably not one of those passages you want to lead off to introduce the divine will to somebody who's heard nothing about it or doesn't know anything about it. Because when you start saying, okay, wait a minute, Jesus is saying that I can escape purgatory, you know, they're going to run, because it sounds heretical. But you have to put it into context. And the context is here, if I may. It begins, quote, this morning, Louisa speaking, as I was very afflicted because of the loss of my adorable Jesus, all of a sudden he made himself seen in my interior, filling my person completely. That is my head, my arms, and all the rest. As I was seeing this, almost wanting to explain to me the meaning of the way he was making himself seen, he told me, quote, my daughter Louisa, why do you afflict yourself? if I am the master of all of you. When a soul comes to rendering me the master of her mind, of her arms, of her heart, and of her feet, sin cannot reign. And if something involuntary enters into her, since I am the master and the soul is under the influence of my lordship, she is in continuous attitude of purgation, and that something immediately goes out of her. Furthermore, since I am holy, it is difficult for her to retain within herself anything which is not holy. Even more, since she has given all of herself to me in life, it is justice that I give all of myself to her at her death, admitting her to the beatific vision without delay. So if one gives herself completely to me, the flames of purgatory have nothing to do with her. End quote. How extraordinary is this? And again, this is volume five. This carries the churches in Imprimatur and Nihil Lapsus in its Italian translation. The church found nothing wrong with believing that to be true. That is incredible, Sister Teresa.
Yeah, because we usually think our life on earth is one thing and the purgatory is another one, is simply another dimension that the soul is called to live, to be purified. With the divine will, we can be prepared for live our life on earth in a way more transparent, more near, similar to the life that Jesus lead for us. And in one sense, yes, we can skip the purgatory, but in one sense we do the purgatory here on earth. That's because we always have in a state of purgation. And I have a link to attach your meditation with mine, but I prefer to keep for after, because is connected with another part. And because of this day, because of this month, I was doing my meditation from the volume of the Hour of the Passion. And doing the Hour of the Passion is to allow Jesus to transform our soul with this purification, because we have to try to forget our material things and focus day by day, little by little, to the interior life of Jesus. And the instrument is the Book of the Passion. I start from the first hour. And the first hour from 5 to 6 and 5 to 6, the post-meridian. And Luisa says, "Oh Jesus, in such a harrowing hour for you, most tender heart, what a lesson of filial and loving obedience to your mama you give us. What a sweet harmony passes between you and Mary. What a sweet enchantment of love rises up to the throne of the Eternal One and extends for the salvation of all creatures of the earth." At this point, we can understand how much important is the relation between Jesus and Mary, because usually when we meditate the Passion of Jesus, the Station of the Cross, they allow us to start the meditation beginning from the condemnation of Jesus. So Jesus is already alone by himself. But with this book, it's so important to start with the last blessing between Jesus and Mary. It's a teaching for us for how we can enter in the intimacy, in the intimate relation with Jesus, like Our Lady. And continue. "Oh, my celestial mama, do you know what adored Jesus wants from you? Nothing but your last blessing. It is true that for every particle of your being, nothing but blessings and praises come out for your Creator. But Jesus, in talking leave of you, wants to hear the sweet word I bless you, O Son, and that I bless you removes all the blasphemies from his hearing and descends sweet and gentle into his heart. Jesus wants you, your I bless you, almost to place it as a shelter from all the offenses of the creatures. So Our Lady was the presence of Our Lady was so consoling for Jesus, because she did for us all that we should do for Jesus. So he received all the blessing from her, but also this, at the same point, we know reading the books, we were present in that blessing because she did for us. So it's a teaching for us to enter in the meditation of the hour of the Passion with intimacy and with love. So it is important. And I too unite myself to you, Luisa said, was with Mama. Upon the wings of the wind, I want to go around the heavens to ask the Father, the Holy Spirit, and all the angels for an I bless you for Jesus, so that as I go to him, I may bring him their blessings. So it's a calling for us. And the same teaching came from us, from the preparation to each hour, the prayer of preparation, because Jesus, we can say, oh, my Lord Jesus Christ, every time we start an hour, oh, my Lord Jesus Christ, prostrate in your divine presence, I implore you, most loving God, to admit me to the sorrowful meditation of the 24 hours in which, for love of us, you wanted to suffer so much in your adorable body and in your most holy soul, and to that on the cross. So we start not with a simple reading of this book, but with an act of fusion. So more we are fused with Jesus, more we receive graces for us and for other souls.
Yeah, you know, along those lines, sister, it was Saint Agnes, another angelic soul that enamored of Jesus, used to say, quote, the more I love and touch him, capital H, the more chaste and pure I become, end quote. And you know, something I remember also, Father Inuzzi mentioning, again, I don't want this to be taken out of context. If the Book of Heaven has been made available to us, it's my opinion God expects us to read, study it, and to put it into practice. But Father Inuzzi says, God knows how much time we have and don't have. He says, if we're very, very limited with time and we want to make the greatest impact into the divine will, he suggests studying and praying the hours of the Passion, because it is the most intimate moment we can possibly have where we are actually, not theoretically, actually participating in his Passion and sharing in his suffering. That is incredible that we have that opportunity to do, us mortal sins, immortal sinful souls.
Yeah, because in that moment when we meditate the hour of Passion, Jesus entered in us, because we keep away our the thinking of our life in a material way, and we let us Jesus enter in us. So at the last part of the introduction of that book, we can read page 2021, one can comprehend then how the hours of the Passion are not just a reading and not even a devotion, but a formation of life, the interior life of Jesus. In this way, day after day, we will feel more and more that Jesus is truly living in us, not just our life, but his very divine life. It's a door. We open the door from inside. He can enter in us. He can do his divine life with his all reparation continuously. And we can grow for love of other souls.
Yes. And that door, as Jesus states, allows the soul, the core redeeming soul, to plunge into and dare to say into the pain of our Lord. That is incredible. This gift is the greatest gift of all. And, you know, when you mentioned really quickly about the martyrdom, Jesus calls this the divine will, journeying the divine will, the greatest of all martyrdoms, because we have to constantly say no to the world. We have to constantly say no to our human will. And that takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. I'm not journeying as quickly as I'd like to, but, you know, thanks be to God that you sisters are, especially Sister Gemma. Hi, Sister Gemma.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. Sister Teresa was mentioned the book of the Passion, and I try to read it every day, maybe not an hour, full hour, but few sentences, and meditate on it. And it's true, the Passion, it's one of the book, or maybe the book that can change your life, where you can really meet Jesus and what he went through all his life. And most of the saints, they grew in sanctity with the Passion book. Not particularly maybe with Luisa Passion book, but any kind of Passion book with the writing of what Jesus suffered during the Passion. So it's important to read the Passion book if we really want to have this this relationship with Jesus, and to know really what he went through. And one of the things that it really touched me every time I read the Passion book, it's in almost all the hours, it say that Jesus was and the Virgin Mary too, he was silent, and he was always preparing for all the things that he was seeing, like during when he instituted the Holy Eucharist, that Jesus was looking at everything what's going on around him, and preparing for all the things that would happen maybe nowadays or in the past, or things that will happen in the future. And so this is an attitude that we also have to have. And when I read it, I pray for this grace to have that my eyes can caught all this, can catch all these things, and also have the same attitude of reparation, continuous reparation. And so also doing reparation, today it's the day of the All Souls Day, and in the Divine Will we can do reparation also for all the souls in purgatory, all these souls that maybe they fully and completely live in the Divine Will on this earthly life, and now we can do that. We can offer the divine version of their life, of the life of these souls that now are in purgatory, and they're waiting for us for this time, for us to give the divine version of life, to offer all their sufferings that they maybe didn't suffer in a divine way, but maybe in a human way, and we can offer this to God. So today it's a good day to offer all the life of all these souls, and we can do it in the Divine Will, and they really has a great power if we do that.
I love that line, a divine version of life. That's really what God is trying to impress on us. If we just meditate on that one line, that can make a whole bit of difference.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello, Sister Francesca.
Hi, Peter. Hey, everyone. All right, I did a last-minute change of plan. I had one passage planned, but as Sister Gemma was speaking, I thought,
you were moved. You were moved by the Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit moved
me. I saw your habit flapping a little bit. I knew there was something going on.
I'm going to read from Volume 35, March 22nd, 1938, because Sister Gemma was talking about the Passion and how all Jesus did, he remained silent and he repaired. And I remember, I think there was a passage in Volume 4 where Jesus teaches Luisa and us through Luisa the secret of suffering. And he basically told her, because I didn't focus on myself, I didn't focus on what I was suffering, neither who was causing that suffering, but the fruit that can come out of that suffering. And I think that's the secret of our suffering, of how we can endure it.
Sister, isn't it also the opposite of today? We're so focused on us. Like, for example, if we're walking in a crowd and somebody bumped us, hey, you know, we're so, you know, prone to react to what we perceive as an abuse toward us. Well, again, this is nothing. Whatever we're going to do is nothing compared to what our blessed Lord. And silence. Silence allowed him to focus on what was important. Same thing with us. So we've got some tremendous beneath the water surface lessons that are really, really so imperative for us, especially today.
That actually reminds me of something Teresa of Avila said. I'm going to butcher the quote, but it's like, we're so quick to respond because we're so quick to like defend our rights. We're so quick to, you know, enforce justice. And sometimes, a lot of times, the things that we suffer are unjust. Right. But I remember Teresa of Avila said to her sisters, I don't understand people who are only willing to suffer what is just for them to suffer. Was it just that Jesus suffered everything he did, that he suffered? All of his suffering was totally unjust, but he suffered it anyway. And we have to also be willing to suffer injustices. I'm not talking about great injustices that maybe we have to, you know, act on something. There are certain things that, you know, the Lord wants us to act upon. But I think a vast majority of the little injustices that we suffer every day, the Lord just wants us to respond with humility and with silence. And everything is an opportunity to help souls, to glorify God, especially the souls in purgatory.
Oh, true. Is that, you know, just really quickly, again, talking about the silence, Jesus explicates also in the article 66 on when he was silent with Pilate. We knew he was silent, but now we know the real reason why he was not only silent because he recognized Pilate was not asking the question sincerely, but he also remains silent because he says, I forget what volume it's in, that if he had divulged who he is, what he's doing, and what the real scenario is, it wouldn't have changed Pilate's mind. And it would have put Pilate in even graver danger than he was already. So to save Pilate, he remained quiet. We didn't know that until we found that through the Book of Heaven. There's the explication that this beautiful, beautiful mystery gives us.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good lesson for all of us. Am I speaking up to really help the other person because I think it'll help the other person, or am I speaking up to defend myself, you know?
Right.
Okay, I just want to read a quick passage that I was reading the other day. March 22nd, 1938, volume 35. It's basically Jesus is telling Louisa, when you live in my will, you learn how to love as I loved. And this very much struck me. He says, that is why we are all attentive to see when she loves and when she works, to smile and rejoice with her. Our love is so great that we place her in our own condition. We love even if we are not loved. We go on giving life even if we are ignored and perhaps even offended. And if the soul comes back to us asking for forgiveness, we do not reproach her. Rather, we hug her and embrace her on our divine knees. One could say that man can trust only us. Not only can he not trust other creatures, but he will find in them inconstancy and deception. And at that moment he believes he is able to rely on them, they will fail him. Actually, man can trust only the soul who lives in our will. This soul will do as we do. Not being loved, she will love. Ignored or offended, she will run after the offender to save him. We feel ourselves within the soul who lives in our will, and we love her so much that we do nothing but pour rivers of love upon her to be loved more and more and with ever doubling and expanding love. I mean, ooh, this is a true litmus test if we're really journeying in the divine will. And only Jesus can give us this kind of love. It's not like, oh, by white knuckling it and through our efforts, we're going to be able to love this way. It's by constantly receiving the love of Jesus, by, you know, meditating on his passion, by entering into his own sufferings and his reparations, we learn to love this way. Because that's, like I said, it's the true litmus test. Are we still willing to love when our love is not accepted, when it's not received, when it's even rejected? When we're ignored, are we still willing to go after the sinner? Are we still willing to help others, you know, or are we looking for, you know, only our own return? So this for me was very powerful. And this is really the life that Louisa did perfectly. You know, she was persecuted in a lot of ways. She was in her bedroom alone very often. But she still went out to souls. It wasn't like she had this constant consolation from other creatures. In fact, from very early in the volumes, Jesus detaches her from all creatures. Even in the very beginning, her own family didn't understand her. But it never, ever stopped her from suffering. Jesus even showed her the worst horrors that were going on in the world and the people who were committing those horrors. And Louisa wasn't just praying for the victims of those horrors. She was praying for those who were committing those horrors. And I mean, that is truly the love of Christ, who on the cross suffered for every sinner while they were still sinners. That includes us, and that includes every soul, past, present, and future. And that's the love that we have to have as we journey in the divine will, to love even those souls that that the world and maybe us at times considers unlovable.
Wow. Yeah, that's a true emulation of Jesus. You know, I really like that. That's a really fascinating statement that Jesus makes. Trust no one except those living in the divine will. That doesn't mean we treat the others harshly, but we have to be, we have to gauge, you know, we have to be careful of outside influences, if we may. And that's so important. And I think, to go into the break, I'd like to, you know, reparation. I think Sister Jen was speaking about reparation. Maybe Sister Teresa did also. I can't read my own notes here. But in the introduction to the Hours of the Passion, since we're on the Hours of the Passion, it really gives a very profound bit of ammunition. If I may read it. Quote, "Ordinarily, a reparation consists of adoration, amends, and prayers. Yet the reparations of the Hours of the Passion include a personal identification and assimilation into each step of the redemptive process endured by our Lord Jesus Christ. They form a participation and a sharing in the feelings of the Most Sacred Heart and in His divine sufferings. Thus, it is together with Jesus that a soul suffers, grieves, prays, and makes reparation." End quote. It's with Him, exactly what the saints have prayed for through centuries. And God is saying it's available now. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
I'm free to dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. Again, want to welcome everyone back on this All Souls Day, this beautiful opportunity to be together with each and every one of you. And, you know, all of this is not possible without the generosity of the listeners, of the listening audience of Radio Maria. It's all 100% listener supported. That's why there's no commercials. There's no agendas. There's nothing Radio Maria is being forced to do other than being totally Catholic. And that's what their job is. And that's what they're succeeding in doing. But that does take money in this world. And the good news is God knows what we can do and what we cannot do. There's two ways to give. We can give spiritually. We can give financially. We can give both. And God knows what we can and cannot do. So if you can, please give spiritually, please do it. Pray for the success, for the health of Father Dan, for everyone involved in the Radio Maria enterprise. And also, if you can give financially, it's desperately needed. If you can, please go to 888 or call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. Or simply go to radiomaria.us to give. If you can pledge a monthly reoccurring donation, that makes it so much easier for Radio Maria to ascertain, to know what's coming in when, so they know what they can do, what they can pay, what they can't pay, what acquisitions they can make if God presents those opportunities. It just makes everything so much easier. We're going to try to do our part. We're going to offer two gifts for anyone making a pledge today, or if you're listening to this on the archives. Again, this is 24/7, 365 for this opportunity. The first is a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing and the contact information on the back of the card, whom to contact when you experience your miracle. So this card will be given to you. Also, there's another card called the I Am Catholic card. This is about the size of a credit card, same thickness. It says, I am Catholic. In the event of an emergency, please call a priest. On the back, it has the act of contrition. Again, we hope we don't need this, but maybe perhaps one of our family members or friends may need this. We'll offer both of these gifts in exchange for any contribution that you can make. And if you cannot make a financial contribution and you still want one of these two gifts, just give Radio Maria a call. Let them know how they're doing and give your contact information and we'll get that to you. Because again, we're going to be based on how much we've loved and how charitable we've been. And we'll all try to do our part with that. Speaking about doing our part, we're going to go back to Italy right now with Sister Teresa, Sister Francesca, and Sister Gemma. And I think Sister Gemma is on board now. Hi, Sister.
Again. Hello again. Hey, I just wanted to add something of what Sister Francesca said about that we were talking about silent, how Jesus during the Passion and also the Virgin Mary were silent. There was not a lot of communication around, but praying a lot and being silent. But I also was thinking how important it is to be silent, especially in the suffering moment and when people tell us something. I mean, if we have to defend ourselves, that's good. But also being silent in a way, sometimes we can be silent exteriorly, but not silent interiorly. And this is not good because we also have to have the silent inside. And then when we have the silent inside, automatically the silent outside will also it's visible. And it's a grace because I know, especially when we don't like things or when we are humiliated or other suffering comes our way, the most common things, at least for me, it's like the lamentation and murmuring or this inside. And so we have to ask for the grace not to have this this talk inside of us, but to be more silent and prayful, and it's a grace. It's a grace, and also it's a practice that we can start practicing. It's an exercise that maybe doesn't come natural at the beginning, but the more we exercise, then the more it comes natural after a while. And also another thing that Sister Francesca said when she was talking about suffering, how many times people suffer a lot. And I mean, we can see nowadays, it's if you just switch on the TV, you see just suffering all over the world. But it's important not to lose the goal. We are in this marathon and we have just to walk and to run. If we stop, is someone doing the marathon and stops? What does it happen? Just lose the marathon. So we have to keep run and look always forward, as Jesus was doing during the Passion. During his Passion, his goal was, and his union was with God the Father, was so intense that, yes, he was suffering, and he was suffering a lot, but His continuous union with God the Father, was the strength that brought him to the end. And so we have to have the same goal, the same thing. We are suffering. Suffering, unfortunately, it will be suffer sooner or later. Everyone, that's something that it's part of our life, but we cannot stop. We have to keep going and look always straight forward to the light, because at the end there will be always the light is there waiting for us.
Yeah, it's so easy to be distracted. And again, the world tries to distract us from God in many ways, indirectly and directly. Also, you mentioned about the interior chatter. I think that's probably more detrimental to the soul than the exterior, because it's constant, it's not audible, but yet it doesn't allow God to breathe any divine messages, qualities, or any communication, because it's almost shutting. He waits. He's a gentleman. He doesn't wait. He doesn't force his way into the chatter. He waits until we're quiet, and then he starts speaking, and we have to be attentive to that. I know. Yeah. I know you all are exercising your virtues by me constantly talking over you, and you have to just, you know, placate me and just, okay, forgive him, he knows not what he does. So, you know, that's okay. I'm trying, I'm striving, so pray for me, sisters.
No, keep talking, Peter. You make everything we say sound so much better. That's good, great. Gosh. No, it was just, as Gemma was talking, as you were commenting on it, it's like, that's the thing. It's the chatter is a monologue. We're complaining to ourselves, ourselves, and we have to practice that silence so that we can allow God to enter that conversation. And sometimes, you know, there's a whole book of Lamentations in the Bible. You know, in certain situations in our life, you know, it's okay to lament, but lament like Jesus lamented in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he wasn't complaining, but he was saying, you know, Father, let this cup pass from me, not my will, but thy will be done. Like being honest with the Lord, being sincere with him. I know some of you out there maybe have fiery personalities, you know, feel a lot of emotions. I'm one of them. You feel a lot of emotions, and sometimes you can only suppress so much, and the Lord doesn't want you to suppress. He wants you to maintain that silence, but he wants you to bring all of your struggles, all of your difficulties, you know, all of your sufferings. He wants us to bring them to him, and we can bring it to him with honesty. We don't have to censor ourselves, but always, like Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, just think of Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? Jesus is God. He wasn't rebelling against the Father. He was just being honest with the Father. He was crying out to the Father, but in total submission to his will. Never once did he waver in submitting to the Father's will. So I think we can do that in our sufferings in order to avoid, you know, that interior monologue, because really we're just complaining to ourselves, you know, taking a breath, having that moment of silence, and then bringing it to the Lord and dialoguing with him. And then what happens, whatever we're suffering, whatever we're going through, actually becomes a beautiful door through which we grow in our intimacy with God.
Yeah. I mean, we're chatting to ourselves. We're not even listening to ourselves. You know, that's the odd part of it. And, you know, this, but we all have that disposition, but yo, you're from New York, sister, you're from New York. So forget about it. It's okay. God knows. God knows. How you doing?
And speaking also about silence, silence is the first school that we have to do before start to pray, because usually we think, yes, I'm repeating words. And if we don't make space in our soul for God, we remain alone. And it's a big risk, a risk to leave also the prayer. But what is the meaning of the prayer is trying to go more profoundly in our soul to reach the wedding room. The wedding room is the seventh room also of the castle of Saint Teresa d'Avila. And is if you can touch that room, that part so sacred of our soul, we can have the opportunity to lose the taste of the earthly things, not because they are not good, but we try to have a different relation, a different perspective. We enjoy more the heavenly things, and we are more in balance with our passion, because at the beginning they are strong, and more we go deeply in our soul, more they die, and more we can able to have the dominion of ourselves. This is the kingdom of the divine will. That's the first step. And how much important is silence? Because in prayer, also we were speaking about the hour of the passion. And if we go deeply in the sorrow of Jesus, we receive the grace. We receive, it's not easy to explain, because it's an experience that we can touch only in prayer. But he gave us the grace to understand how much big was and is. His law, because his life is enact, and we can have the same part of Our Lady, but in a different way, because Our Lady was the immaculate spouse. We are the immaculate spouse. We have like Luisa, the original sin. And what was the name of Luisa? The other name was Mary Magdalene. Magdalene, and there is from my catechesis, I heard this is not my my wisdom, but it's so enriching. And the Magdalene in the Gospel, we can read that she was the only one who had, because she has an intense intimacy with Jesus, she recognized not only the royalty of Jesus, it's correct, the royalty of Jesus, but also his divinity, because before the passion, she anointed Jesus. We can read the two versions, Mark and Matthew. She anointed some days before the passion the head, and in John we can read she anointed his feet. And some theologian says that anointing the head, she recognized her priesthood, and it was a king, okay, because it was the anointed. This act recalled the anointed of the kings and the priesthood and the priest, and anointed the feet, she recognized his divinity. I don't know why, it's a mystery. Also because Jesus, the last act that he did with the apostles was washing their feet. But who do this act? The servant. So we have to imitate Jesus, because he was a servant of the humanity, because he carried on the cross all our sins. So we have to go down to serve the Lord, to enter in his passion, and only in this way we can receive the richness, the ricchezza, the richness of his divine life. And there is also a little passages that I can keep from volume 21. The date is April 16, 1927. And Luisa was asking, how can it be possible that she, Our Lady, had so much strength as to be able to leave him, to leave Jesus? We started from the first hour of the Passion, that Jesus went to Our Lady to receive the last blessing. So all started from the an act of intimacy before, some days before with the Mary Magdalene, because she anointed him. And after, before quickly started the Passion, she went to Our Lady. So the women are so important in the Passion. And Jesus say, my daughter, do you want to know how my mama had the strength to leave me? All the secret of her strength was in my will, reigning in her. She lived of a will that was divine, not human, and therefore she contained the immeasurable strength. Even more, you must know that when my pierced mama left me in the sepulchre, my will kept her immersed within two immense seas, one of sorrow and another, one more extensive, of joys and beatitudes. And while that of sorrow gave her all the martyrdoms, that of joy gave her all the contentments. Her beautiful soul followed me into limbo and was present at the feast that all the patriarchs, the prophets, her father and mother, and our dear Saint Joseph made of me. With my presence, limbo became paradise, and I could not do without letting the one who had been inseparable from me in my pains be present at his first feast of the creatures. And her joy was so great that she had the strength to depart from my body by drawing with the waiting for the fulfillment of my resurrection as the fulfillment of redemption. Joy sustained her in sorrow, and sorrow sustained her in joy. This is what happens when we really enter in the silence and we really embrace the prayer like a sacred meeting with Jesus. We accept to enter in his suffering, but we will receive a lot of consolation, of grace, of light, divine light, of understanding what is the love that Passion contains. And we are able to live our life in the same way. So we are more similar to his soul, to his humanity, his souls.
Yes, you know, sister, what you just said at the end there is very similar to what something, it's in the introduction to the hours. It says, quote, at times, this solitary soul, Louisa, introduces in her book the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. When this happens, she no longer conveys her particular feelings, but rather conveys a divine message. So that's why we have to be so attentive to that. Just a couple of recaps before Sister Francesca. You know, you mentioned about how things change. Jesus says he's going to change our palate. What we like today, we may dislike tomorrow. And what we dislike today, we may like tomorrow. Everything moving us toward a more holy life. You mentioned about run. Throughout the volumes, Jesus and Mary speak about running. I think just creating that urgency to do it now, to do it fast, not to be lethargic with that. And you mentioned about difficult to explain the divine will in words. Father Inuzzi coined that. He said perfectly, the divine will is difficult to explain in words, but is very easy to understand once we accept it. Because as you touched on, we need the grace of God to understand the language of heaven. It's like any language. If we're not taught it, we can't speak it. But God is going to teach us in a divine mode how to do it once we give him our trust, our filial love. Right, Sister Francesca?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. What happened? You were speaking correctly before. What happened to your... What happened to your New York accent? You were finally speaking correctly.
Hey, I can't do all the time. I lost it. I go to the supermarket. I meet someone from Staten Island or from Long Island. I'm so happy. They're happy. And it's just a joy. You know, God is amused. He's pleased with our diversity. I think he really is.
Yes, I love it. I've been meditating a lot lately on the communion of saints, and the image I keep getting in my head.
Perfect day today.
Yeah, right? Exactly. The image, I don't know if I would explain this well, but you remember those lamps, like when you were a kid, they were like in the shape of like cartoon characters that when you turned it on, the light was from inside.
Yeah,
and it's just like it was like, you still have
one.
Was the character and it just lit up and it just lit up the character was just like so much more beautiful than when the light was off. It's almost like that's for me. I'm very simple. This is how I envision the communion of saints. Like We still look like ourselves. We still have our unique personality traits, our unique physical traits, you know, talents, strengths, weaknesses, whatever it is. But it's like the light is Jesus inside of us. It's his will that's animating everything. So it's like we shine in a whole new way when we're living in the divine will. And then I even picture heaven like that. Like everybody is Jesus. Like you just see Jesus in everybody, but it's how I like to call it. It's like different flavors of Jesus, like in heaven.
Yeah,
I'm going to have sister today's a flavor Jesus and, you know, sister Gemma flavor Jesus. It's all Jesus. We're all attracted to God in the soul, but the individuality of the soul is still there because that's why God created us. God created, we're all little jewels of, we're like creation. We're all physical images of an invisible God. You know, it's beautiful. I can't wait to.
So another line that we have to coin. I can't wait to go back to recording. That's a beautiful line that you just said there. You know, again, yeah, we can't all be pistachio. There has to be some butter pecan, yeah. Some strawberry. There has to be some diversity. And you know, that's really what our Lord is asking for in each and every one of us. He loves our individuality. And yeah. But think about the world right now. The world, again, everything that's bad in the world today is really an attack on God. Doesn't everyone clamor to be the same? Do all the girls want to look the same? Mm-hmm. All the guys want to look the same? Everybody rides a motorcycle, has to look the same? No, God loves, he loves our individuality, but the world wants to take that away. Make us this blanket. This is the way you ought to look. And if you want to be in, so to speak, this is what you must do. Nonsense. Again, everything that's bad, everything that's not of love is contrary and attack on God. And that's what we're seeing every moment and every day.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's all in the name of individuality, if you think about it.
Of course. People don't think that they're all
being the same. Yeah,
that's exactly. Good. That's good.
Exactly. Nonsense. I know we only have a couple of more minutes, but mm-hmm. I just wanted to read a passage to kind of wrap up All Souls Day. It was a passage that I happened upon yesterday that I thought was very, very consoling for all of us out there that maybe we have family members or friends who are either still living or passed away that we're concerned about the state of their soul, or, you know, maybe they're not living in a state of grace. I found this very consoling. It's from the same passage I read before, March 22nd, 1938, volume 35. Jesus says, "Now, my daughter, until the soul starts to experience guilt, my will is everything within her. And as the guilt begins, so do the tears and pains of this heavenly mother begin. Oh, how sadly it misses its child, but it does not leave him. Its love binds it to live in that soul, to give her life. And although it seems to feel its divine life being suffocated and perhaps neither known or loved, the love of my will is so great that it follows her life, regardless of any offense, to make a loving ambush and save its child. Our goodness and our love are so great that we use every means and approach to snatch her from sin and to save her. And if we do not succeed during her life, we make the last loving surprise at the moment of her death. You ought to know that in that moment, we give the last sign of love to the soul, providing her with our graces, love, and goodness, and placing so many tender signs of love upon her so as to soften and win the hardest hearts. And when the soul finds herself between life and death, between time that is about to end and eternity that is about to begin, almost in the act of leaving her body, I, your Jesus, show myself with an enrapturing loveliness, with a sweetness that binds and sweetens the hardships of life, especially in that extreme moment. Then with my gaze, I look at her, but with so much love as to snatch from her an act of contrition, one act of love, one act of attachment to my will. In that moment of disillusionment, souls see, as they feel within their own hands, how much we have loved them and do love them. Souls feel so much pain that they repent for not having loved us. They recognize our will as the origin and fulfillment of their lives, and in atonement, they accept death to fulfill one act of our will." So there's always hope. There's always hope. Jesus, even at the moment of our death, never abandons us. He leaves us that choice.
Never, never lose confidence. Last word, Sister Teresa. We've got about
last
a minute.
Last word is for San Nicola from Tolentino. It's a little town in Italy. He's the patron of the souls of purgatory. We went a few days before the sister leave for America for a visit his tomb. And they told us that they some many years after he died, some person tried to stole his body, and they tried to cut the arms. And from the arms, many years after he died, it came out blood. So like it was living. And so I think that we can offer the divine version of the life of the poor souls, but also for the saints. And I think in this case, San Nicola Tolentino is the patron of the souls of purgatory.
Okay, so remember that.
Can think about the
first intercession. Yeah, great. That's wonderful. Oh, thank you, sister, for sharing that. Well, thanks be to God for this opportunity. Thank you, Radio Maria, for allowing us to bring this kindergarten of the divine will. And sisters, God willing, we'll see each other next Thursday. We'll see each other this Sunday on the School of Mary. And for now, ciao. Thank you.
Ciao, ciao from Italy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.